I've been very fortunate in this job to meet a long list of people that have really made a big impact on me. One of those is on the phone right now. We met 10 years ago when it was just an idea, just a concept, and a friend introduced us and said, you need to meet Behesha Doan and understand what she hopes to plans to do. She's our guest this morning. Behesha, it's been 10 years. You still there? I'm sorry, I lost you for a second. I'm sorry, Behesha, we lost you for a second. What I was just saying, 10 years, doesn't seem like it.
You haven't aged a day.
I have. I can assure you I have. I've looked back at the pictures of even you and I together, and I'm like, who is that young, dashing man? Not me. You, on the other hand, do look the same, and I don't know how you do it. Let me ask you this, and this is really kind of a mean question, really. You've had a lot of success. How do you tell your story of 10 years of disabled veteran and the success and how you've helped people from the first year that are still being helped, that help is still in existence for them 10 years ago? How do you explain that to people? How do you explain the work that goes on there?
Oh, you know, I think the only way to explain it is that it is the power of something bigger than all of us. The concept of disabled veteran and the field of dreams that it became, that if you build it, they will come. It pretty much started that way. And it's evolved over the last 10 years, and many people have stood up in support and have really given of themselves to see it advance. And it's a powerful thing. Disabled veteran is a powerful thing, and it's bigger than all of us.
And you know what? The group effort, I mean, I hear that, right? I mean, when you look at the people that have raised money for you, the people who help you train the dogs, and then the acquiring the dogs, then, you know, and I talked to one of the veterans that you helped me talk to this year, and it never occurred to him. He thought it was a great program for him to help. And when he's on the air, his wife said, you know, maybe this would be a good thing for you. He'd never thought about that. And then it changed his life. The dramatic change in these people, and this is one of the things you can just say, oh, it's a dramatic change, and do that academically. But no, the people that were at the beginning come back and help again. That's one of the things that I think validates this and shows how effective it is.
Yeah, you know, I think when we find freedom from suffering, there is a strong desire in us to share that.
Yeah.
Freedom is our birthright. It is truly our birthright. And so when someone finally experiences it, especially after a long period of suffering, there is a desire to pass the word along. Life has painful moments, but suffering, we don't have to suffer.
All right. Now let's take a look at this, Behesha, because there's a couple of ways to look at this, and I hope I'm not overstepping bounds of friendship here. Because when I heard Behesha talking about this, she, I think in some ways, was talking about that she found ways past her grief and suffering, and once she had done that, she wanted to show other people how to do that. Is too much of a simplification, Behesha?
I think that the experiences that I went through and the role that dogs played in helping me see things that I could not have otherwise seen is absolutely accurate. And the longing to help our military veterans find their way through it is what motivated me.
Yeah.
I knew what I found.
And you wanted to make sure other people had access to it. Now, here's one of the problems Behesha's had, and I'm Exhibit A for having this problem, thinking that this program is only about the dogs. It's only, we have this focus about the dogs, the veterans. This program, Disabled Veteran, is more than pairing a therapy dog with a soldier. There's more there that's going on. And it's something that, well, like I said, dogs are my squirrel, right? So talk to me about the other part of the program that people may not know so much about.
Well, the Sable Veteran is a two-pronged approach.
Two-fanged approach from the background, I'm hearing.
Yes, he's got something on his mind. The Sable Veterans program is both the development of a service dog and a very specialized one, as well as a trauma resilience program. And the trauma resilience program is a... when it's breakfast time and your mom's on the radio, you know?
Right. That's your Belgian Malinois right there, right? Malinois.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. He has opinions.
He does have opinions, and he's a heck of an athlete to boot.
But yes, the trauma resilience program is... a really powerful way of helping our men and women begin to look within and find their own wisdom, their own access to their own wisdom, basically. And of course, in our program, the program starts before the veterans ever arrive at our campus. And we start online, and we get to know each class. And that goes on for months before they come. But then for 3 weeks when they do come and they meet their dog for the first time on day one of that three-week period, we begin our in-person time, and that's 21 days, and they get to know their dog and they get to know the work. And then after 3 weeks and there's that beautiful graduation, we stay connected with them for a year, and then continue on after that. So the Sable Veterans program, as it evolves, you know, each class is a little different. We learn more, we get their feedback, but it is in essence the same, that it is a program for people who are tired of living with trauma and pain.
How many people have you helped with this in the last 10 years, Basha?
We are over 70 now. Over 70.
Right. In 10 years, and of course you have different size classes that come through. How do you get your dogs?
Well, we obtain them from purpose breeders, and a purpose breeder is a breeder that trains specifically for the purpose of service work. We once attempted to rescue all the dogs that we got, largely because we couldn't afford to do any other thing.
Right.
But we found that the washout rate, meaning the dogs got just so far but then couldn't make the grade, there were so many that washed out that it became resource intensive only to have that resource washed out, you know. So the ones that did make it absorbed the cost of the ones that didn't. And we found that the donor money was better spent on puppies that were very low likelihood of washing out.
Right.
And that's actually, in fact, what has happened.
How long?
So that's where we get our puppies.
How long does it take to train a puppy to be a service dog and meet that standard for the disabled veteran?
Well, for the disabled veteran, the standard is about 18 months.
Yeah.
Now, I know there are a lot of other programs and things out there that train for a few months and then here you go. But our dogs are extremely specialized, as is the entirety of our program.
Right, for PTSD. Now, and this is the thing, because when you and I met 10 years ago, my understanding, 10 years ago, when you started this program for veterans using dogs to help with PTSD, you were the first in the country to do a program like this. Is that true, Basha?
Well, we were the first to combine a trauma resilience program with service dogs. Now, I will say that the concept and the way that we are doing it, to my understanding, it started here. I know that we pioneered the anxiety alerts in the dogs. We pioneered nightmare interruption. We also pioneered a trauma resilience program, which is starting to be picked up by some other organizations, several of whom I had the privilege of training in our PTSD Service Dog Trainers Academies.
How many people do you think have to be involved to get one dog from beginning to end? because I follow, you know, you and I have met more than once at SIU or a football game. You've got a couple of the dogs out. People, you know, they're showing how good they are. They get a little training and socialization in the process. I mean, this is such a neat story here when it comes to dogs and getting them through the program here as well. But how many dogs you think? I mean, I know you did 70, but I assume you've probably some extra dogs here, there. I mean, going through this program. So 70, they've been assigned to soldiers, but you've seen a lot more dogs in this program than that.
Well, we've seen dogs that have come through that did not make it, but those numbers are going way down as we get better at selecting the purpose-bred puppies. But as far as how many people help,
yeah,
you know, the Sable Veteran has a team of trainers that we have grown and love. We've developed them. I like to start with people who have no background in training and just have the heart and the fire, and we can build the skills within them, and that's actually what's happening for the years that many of these people have been here.
Well, how do you find the soldiers, or how do the soldiers find you and the dogs?
Well, we have our website, and you can apply online, and the application is right there. It can be digitally sent. It used to be in paper, but we don't have that anymore. It's much easier to apply. And many clinicians refer their veterans to us because of the entirety of our program versus just a dog. You know, the here's a dog, have a nice life idea is problematic. So it's not just about the dog.
Yeah, and I've read some about some of those programs, and they did not turn out very well. You know, they do a 2 or 3 week training program, and then they put them with the dog, and they say bye, have a nice day, and then things don't end well for the soldier or the dog.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I've read some of those. You and I've been with you at graduation ceremonies. I did one a few years back in Carbondale. Mm-hmm. I know April did one. I think this last time around, she's right across the hall here with me this morning. And I one of the things that the joy that this has given you personally, I think maybe joy, because I've watched you on stage literally, that, you know, this is where I envision you crossing some type of internal finish line for yourself. Yes, I've done this again. Now I'm going to go do it again. This has been enormously satisfying for you and your team in a lot of different ways, and the volunteers too. This has been a joyful exercise.
No question about it. It's joyful, and you know when you accomplish something that you thought, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. What if it's going to require more of me than I've got? I think everyone in this organization has experienced those feelings, and yet there is something bigger going on, and the energy and the fire to continue, it just gets rekindled and rekindled over and over. So even though it can be difficult and time consuming and effortful, it's a love. The old saying, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
Right.
And I believe that to be true.
Yeah. In this case, I think it's a good illustration as well. What if somebody would like to help? And when I say help, somebody says maybe they're retired, maybe they got a little extra, maybe they're just passionate about dogs and soldiers, maybe passionate about soldiers. Somebody wants to help you in some way. What would you suggest that would be effective and fulfilling for them?
Oh, my goodness. Disabled Veteran has so many areas that we are looking for support. If you are a retired person who has skills in nonprofit organizations or fundraising, for sure, having someone who could assist us with as a fundraiser, those kinds of things, as well, all the way down to, you know, volunteering for helping in the kennels and helping on the grounds. I've got so many areas that we could use this support, and if anyone is interested, they can reach out to us at servicedog@disabledveteran.org and just send us an email and say, these are my skills. Are they of use to you? And we will be so happy
to get
the email.
So I want to go back here, and it's interesting because when Bahasha and I met, it was an interesting experience for her. She's like, "This guy's nuts," and you just admitted it there, whether you realized it or not, right? This guy's a nut.
I thought you thought I was nuts.
I did, but we were the same kind of nuts, and here's why. I had been recently reading some German philosophy, and this German philosopher, almost like poetry, had talked in such a way about man's responsibility to dogs. Dogs are the only wild animal that willingly, or we believe, has come into the man camp. You can say, well, dogs or cats are domesticated, and then you've never had a cat. You know, I mean, that we have a very large responsibility to this animal that we share the planet with, who shares our homes, our houses. Dogs are man's animal, right? All right, and then we were talking. Do you remember this conversation? The German philosopher I was telling you about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the interesting thing, because Bahasha knows about this responsibility to the veterans, but there's a responsibility to the animal as well. And I always thought this Absolutely. Was interesting because I'm dog people. And I'm even more so the last 10 years. And so we're sitting here talking about this. And even now, today, I'm watching a story with Bahasha. It's a little off the track for disabled veterans, so I apologize. Because of this sense of responsibility to dogs, Bahasha heard about a dog called the General. And the General was a opportunistic, food-motivated thief. Close?
Yeah, I had an academy that I was running, a trainer's academy, and we went to the shelter, and St. Francis Shelter, and good group, by the way, down there. And we were picking out dogs to train for the duration of the academy. And one of them that I spotted was this Catahoula-looking dog. There was something about him. I pulled him and three others out to work with. And when I learned about him, he was named the General because he was a stray. And he would wait in front of the doors of the Dollar General. And when he would ingratiate himself to the people, you know, it's like, oh, what a nice dog. And they'd open the door and he'd shoot into the store and proceed to grab and eat as much as he could, wrappers and all, before he got hauled back out. So that's how he was surviving, among other ways, I understand. So, he was taking care of himself in the best way he could.
Right. And so you've just said, look, we've got a smart, motivated dog here. I think I can do something with this animal. You've been posting the ongoing General stories on your Facebook page. I've been following along every day. It's something new. You've been teaching the dog and teaching people. But I think finding this stray, in some ways, you know, you're out saving an orphan, I think, of sorts, that you've lived up to that responsibility that we have towards this breed, this dog that is everywhere. I've that's the way I kind of interpret it. I enjoy watching it, by the way, too.
Well, you know, I see that he is here on this planet and is doing his best, but he finds himself in a human world. You know, he's not in a dog world. He's in the human world and trying to survive there. And so his behaviors are that of a dog trying to survive. And so not all of his behaviors fit in so well with the human world. So we're taking our time in helping him learn to navigate the world that he does find himself in. And that means you don't get to mouth on the hands or jump or pop somebody in the cheek with your muzzle or any of that. So he's actually coming along really nicely. He's incredibly bright, for a dog that had never learned how to learn from humans. He's extremely bright. So we're taking our time with him. And my goal is to read him as carefully as I can and move him in the direction of being able to navigate his human world with all the joy and fire that he brought with him.
Yeah, I would imagine there was a line out the door waiting to adopt him, too.
Well, I don't have a line yet because I'm not adopting him out yet. But
you will.
I don't know that I will. Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of a sucker. But
yeah, I'm. Well, then maybe I should put my name on the list now then.
He's a cool dog. He's going to stick around it long enough that he shows what can be done, even with the most marginalized among us.
And that's interesting, and I'm glad you pointed that out. Bahia Shadone, disabled veteran, 10th anniversary. Congratulations, Bahia. It's been a great having you on the guest. I've enjoyed having you as one of my friends for the last 10 years since we met at the inception. If there's something you need, I hope you call me first.
Thank you for all your support, Tom, and I really appreciate you.